The reading this week is from 2 Corinthians, that's chapter 5, verse 11, to chapter 6, verse 2. It's 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 11. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favour I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favour, now is the day of salvation.
The poppy appeal. Ever since 1921, poppies have been sold to encourage us to remember. First of all, to remember those who died during World War I. Many people who died in the fields of Flanders, and Flanders was well known for the poppies growing in its field, hence the poppy as a symbol of remembrance. But since the First World War, since 1921, the poppy has called us to remember all those who died in later conflicts too, and to support those who suffer as a result of their military service. Now, as I said earlier, I've got my own poppy here. It's got five petals, and each petal has a letter making up the word poppy. And each letter is the first letter of five words that can help us understand not just the poppy appeal, but a much more important appeal, God's appeal, God's appeal to you and to me. So, P, first P. P is for purpose. P is for purpose. The poppy speaks of purpose. The people that we remember today, they went to fight for a purpose. And their purpose was to secure a better future for us. Peace. Freedom. A purpose expressed in a very famous war epitaph by John Maxwell Edmonds. It was written in 1919, actually made famous by a Second World War memorial in Burma, but it was written for the First World War cemeteries. This is what it reads. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrows, these gave their today. They gave their present for our future. They wanted a better future for their children and their grandchildren. That was their purpose. Well, God has a purpose for this world and for his people. And we read of his purpose in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you've got your Bibles open at home. Earlier in the passage, verse 5, it says this. For it is God who created us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So the man writing this, the Apostle Paul, he is talking here of the new world that God is one day going to create. This has always been God's plan. His purpose is to bring about not just a better future for the world, but a perfect future for the world. And so the world is heading to a future day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and will judge everyone who's ever lived. This is what's being referred to in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And on that day, all wickedness and all evil will be destroyed. Everything that's bad in this world will be dealt with forever. It will be done away with forever. And God will create a new earth. Be a very, very different place to this present world. It'll be a place where there's no more death, no more crying or pain. A place with no more remembrance days. And that's because there won't be any wars, ever. A place of no selfishness, no oppression, no violence, no killing. No dead people to remember, because there won't be any death. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a world like that? The good news is that we can. We can. We can because it's a real place. And it's God's purpose for his people to be there. It's possible for us to be there. That raises a question. It's a good question, an important question. Is how is it possible for us to be there? And that's an obvious question to ask, is because this place is a perfect place. And only perfect people can live there. Otherwise it would be all mucked up and messed up. But you and I know, if we're being honest with ourselves, that we're not perfect. And just in case we've kidded ourselves into thinking that we are, the Bible tells us again and again and again that we're not. We are sinful, all of us. Sin is our determination to rule our lives and God's world our way and not God's way. And we've all rebelled against God. We've all fought against him in some way or other. We all do it differently, but we've all done it. We might have done it noisily. We might have done it quietly. We might have done it rudely or politely, angrily or calmly. But we've all done it. Sin has made us God's enemies. It's alienated us. It's separated us from him. It makes it impossible for us to be with him. Things are not all right between us and God. Things are all wrong. So between this broken, messed up world of pain and God's perfect, eternal world of peace, there is this huge barrier of human sin and God's right anger at that sin and the judgment that must fall on it. God is just. He can't pretend that we're good. So how do we go from this rebellious world under God's judgment to his new world of eternal peace? How can rebellious people like us be with God in his perfect place forever? Well, let's move on to our next letter to find out. O. P, purpose. O. O is for offering. Offering. The poppy speaks of an offering. The people we remember today, they wanted a better future for us, and to bring it about, they made an offering. They offered themselves for service in the armed forces, and they died. War memorials all over the world honour them for this. The war memorial here in Kendal, in Marketplace, honours them for this. This is what it reads. In honour of the men of Kendal, who loyally served in the Great War, 1914 to 1918, and in proud and grateful remembrance of those named thereon who gave their lives for their country. An offering. Our Bible passage speaks of the greatest offering of all. An offering made not for fellow countrymen, made not for friends, but for enemies. An offering made for us, God's enemies. To make it possible for us to be with him in his perfect new world, God made an offering. An offering of himself. An offering of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus offered his life for us. He died for all. We're told that in verses 14 and 15 of our Bible passage. He died for all. He gave his life as a special offering, a sin offering. That's the offering that verse 21 is speaking of, where it says that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus had no sin. Jesus is the only person who's ever been perfectly right with God. He's the only person who deserves to be in God's new world. Yet on the cross, he became sin. He became a sin offering. He took the punishment that we deserve for our sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. That means we might become right with God. We might become his friends instead of his enemies. New creations, as this passage says. People fit for the life of the new creation. Jesus became like us. and was treated as God's enemy, so that we might become like him and treated by God as his friends, as his children. That's a huge thing. That's an amazing sacrifice. It's an amazing offering. And it's for us. He did it, not because we deserve it. We don't. No, he became a sin offering for us because he loves us and he wants us to be with him in his perfect new world. So purpose, offering, and then the next P. Second P is for peace. Peace. The poppy speaks to us of peace. That's what the servicemen and women died to bring us. Their sacrifice made peace possible. That's what we're enjoying today because of their offering. And peace is the result of Jesus' sacrifice for us. Look at verses 18 and 19. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Because Jesus died for us, we can be reconciled to God. Reconciled. To reconcile means to end fighting. It means to solve a conflict between two different groups of people, bring them together in a friendly relationship. That's reconciliation. This is the time of the year when we remember the end of another war, not the First World War, not the Second World War, or the other wars that we commonly remember, but the Cold War. Cold War. It's 31 years ago tomorrow that the Cold War is considered to have ended, or certainly ended symbolically. On the 9th of November, 1989, people were standing on a huge wall in Berlin, in Germany, smashing it down with pickaxes and hammers. And then people on either side of the wall were meeting and embracing. And that was the day that the Berlin Wall came down, and it marked the end of the Cold War between the East and the West. The barrier was down, the war was over, a new relationship was possible, and people who'd been enemies became friends. When Jesus died on the cross, the great barrier that stands between us and God, our sin, was removed. Peace, reconciliation is now possible. We can be forgiven for fighting against God. We can become God's friends forever. And the wonderful thing about the peace that Jesus won for us on the cross is that it is forever. It's not like the peace that we have in this world. Unlike the peace that men make, unlike the peace that the world makes, God's peace lasts forever. Peace. P-O-P. Purpose, offering, peace. Next P. The third P is for plea. Plea. The poppy stands as a plea. An urgent request or an appeal. I don't know if you've ever noticed the words in the middle of your poppy. The poppies that we buy to support the British Legion. It's got some words in the middle. They're not that easy to spot. But if you look at it, you'll see it says poppy appeal. Poppy appeal. What is the poppy appeal? Please, please, please support the soldiers. Look at what they've done for you and give something. That's the plea. Now, our Bible passage also speaks of a plea, an urgent appeal, an appeal that God makes. It's there in verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Do you see God's appeal? His appeal to people who are still fighting against him by ignoring him and living life their way. It's not give something, but it's receive something. Be reconciled to me. Please, please receive the peace that I'm offering you. Receive the forgiveness, the eternal life, the friendship that Jesus' offering has made possible for you. God's appeal is staggering. Oh, I think it's staggering. He's making the first move. And that's staggering because when a breach in human relationships happens, the convention is that the offender should take the first step to put things right. But it's the other way around with the gospel. God, the offended party, the one that we've fought against, the one we've rebelled against, he comes to us in Christ with the offer of peace, the offer of reconciliation. And that's what God wants. And do you see who God makes his appeal through? It's through people who've already taken him up on his wonderful invitation. through Christians, through the church, people who've been reconciled to Jesus already. And that's why the church is here. That's what the church is for. Christians are Christ's ambassadors. What a privilege that is. Sent into the world to plead with people to get right with God while they can. Be reconciled to me. That's God's appeal to us. Plea. P-O-P-P. And that leaves one more letter. And that's Y. What does Y stand for? Y stands for you. You. In the First World War, the governments in this country encouraged many men to join the army with this poster. No doubt you'll have seen it. It's a picture of Lord Kitchener, the head of the army, saying, "Your country needs you." And the emphasis, of course, is on the you. You. Don't think that this doesn't concern you. It does. This is personal. Yes, you. You. You are needed. That was the call. And many, many answered it. God's call is similar in that it too is personal. God calls you. But it's different in that he doesn't need you. God is the creator of the universe. He doesn't need our help to fight his battles. But he does want you. Your creator wants you, whoever you are, whatever you've done. He wants you to be with him in his perfect new creation. Jesus died for you. Jesus was punished for your sin. God wants you to turn from that sin, to repent of it. He wants you to believe in Jesus so that you're united to him, so that everything that belongs to Jesus becomes yours. You become right with God. God loves you. And if you haven't done that yet, then today, I think, is a brilliant day to do that. Well, it's the Sunday nearest Armistice Day, the 11th day of the 11th month. That's the day when the weapons were laid down and the fighting stopped and peace was declared. And you can make today your very own Armistice Day, the day when you stop fighting against God and you turn to Jesus as your Saviour and you submit to him as Lord and you receive peace with God. Today is also a good day to do that because in chapter 6, verse 2 of our passage, it says, "Now is the day of salvation." Today is the day of salvation. You do not know if you'll have tomorrow. So do it today. Your Creator doesn't need you, but he wants you. Will you come? Now, many of us today will have already done that. And if you have, if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you've been reconciled to God and you've received his grace. And God's appeal to you and to me is, don't receive my grace in vain. Chapter 6, verse 1. Don't receive it for nothing. See, now that we're Christians, we have a new purpose to live for. We live for Christ, not for ourselves. We live for him, verse 15 of chapter 5, who died so that we might live, not for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was raised again. So we're to live for him now, and that means not wasting our lives on things that don't really matter. It means carrying out this awesome privilege that God gives to his people, to be his ambassadors, to be Christ's ambassadors, his peace envoys in the world. It means living to persuade others to be reconciled to God, because this is the day of God's favor and grace. It's the day of salvation. It's the day when people can be reconciled. It's a great day to live and to be involved in God's great purpose. So as a Christian, your Creator doesn't need you. He doesn't need you to do his work, but he wants you to be involved. He wants you to be involved in that great purpose that he has for the world. So will we go? Will you go? So there we have it. The Poppy Appeal, P-O-P-P-Y-P, purpose, a new and perfect world. That's where everything's going. Offering, Jesus died for us. P, peace. We can be friends with God now. Plea, make friends with God if you haven't done already. If you have, call others to make friends with God. And why you? This is for you. God loves you.